What did you think?
Recess.
What's that?
Mathematics.
Never met.
No, I took mathematics.
You, what did you take?
Greek, French.
You took Greek, French, and German.
I took Latin.
You took Latin.
Hebrew and English and German.
You took Latin.
Latin.
Fine, go Latin.
Yeah, I went to the Fortran.
When you took Latin, did you have Kennedy's grammar, Kennedy's Latin grammar?
I don't think so, no.
Well, anyway, did you have Arnold's prose composition? You don't have these facets, yeah. Did you have to learn Latin grammar?
Of course.
And how did you learn it?
How?
You did it.
Declensions and rules, conjugations
and rules, you learned everything. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any Cicero?
Yes.
Do you think that when Cicero wrote or he spoke, he started saying, now, if this is subjunctive, must I use here, or must I use the supine, must I use at ut plus the supine, or ut plus the subjunctive? Did you think he worked it out?
Probably not.
Not at all. Not at all. He didn't work
it
out.
He spoke it.
Oh, pardon?
He spoke it.
He has spoken, but he spoke it according to the rules. I speak English too, but every time I speak English, I don't look up Sweet's two-volume English grammar to see whether I'm using the correct tense or the correct... why don't I look up the grammar each time? Not necessary. I tell you the story that I was once driving with a young relative of mine in Jerusalem, in Israel. We were traveling from Yismach Moshe to Jerusalem. And I'm traveling in a taxi. We get into the taxi, and we speak in Hebrew to the driver. We tell him where we want to go. We get in, and in the back, he speaks Yiddish and Hebrew, and I speak English, Yiddish, and Hebrew. He doesn't speak any English. And the common language was more convenient in Yiddish. My Yiddish was... my Hebrew was less fluent than my Yiddish, and it was easier to converse in Yiddish. So we converse in Yiddish, and he spoke Yiddish quite well. As we go, he says to me, "Ich hab gegangen." We finished speaking, and the end I said, Mordechai, by the way, if you speak in Yiddish, you may as well speak correctly. It's not ich hab gegangen, ich bin gegangen. So he says to me, no, he says, you're making a mistake, really, because from where do I know Yiddish? He says, you're making a mistake. You say, ich hab gesungen, ich hab gelernt, ich hab gedarfen, ich hab gegangen. I say, no. Ich bin gegangen, ich bin gesessen. I said, but you were right. So he says, how can it be? I said, when it's an intransitive, when it's a transitive verb, you use it. When it's an intransitive, you will begin, and I propose, oh, make the poem again, and I explain it. Ah, now he's got it. So he starts speaking Hebrew. He starts speaking, goes speaking Hebrew. I was sorry I told it to him. Because every time he had to stop now. Anyway, he's got to stop now. You see, he was much better off before. So, in the middle of it all, the taxi driver turns round and says to me in the most perfect Vilner Yiddish. Now, Vilner Yiddish is what Oxford English used to be, but isn't anymore. That is Vilna Yiddish. It's what we call a literarische Yiddish. The Yiddish of literature. He turns around and says, excuse me. Do you mind if I pull up only for a few seconds, or are you in a hurry? Mordechai, yes, what was wrong? Pulls up. Turns off the engine. Turns around, makes himself comfortable, only an Israeli taxi driver can do. And without saying a word, he's one of us. We're no longer a duo, we are a trio. He says, do you understand English? Can I say it in English?
I'll say it in English first.
He said, my mother language is English. I am a Yiddish writer. I can't make a living as a Yiddish writer in Israel. So I drive a taxi. But this was my profession, and this is my love. He said, you know, of course I would say ich bin gegangen. I would never say ich hab gegangen. I would never say ich hab geschlafen. I would say ich bin geschlafen. And of course I would say ich hab gesagt. I would never say ich bin gesagt. He said, of course. He said, but you know, I was never aware of it. I didn't ever know that. Transitive, intransitive, Oma, Yosef, I didn't know that. Thank you very much. does that mean to say that he knows more Yiddish than I do? Certainly. Of course it does. I don't know more Yiddish. Because that I know all this grammar is because I don't know Yiddish that I've got to have all this grammar. If I knew Yiddish, I didn't have another grammar. You would have shown Cicero at Kennedy's Latin, primer Latin grammar. He wouldn't have known what it was. Good heavens, is this what you've got to do to learn Latin? It's not worth it. This isn't worth it. He didn't have to do that. When I speak English, I don't have to go through it. It's because you don't know. That's what happened with the Gemara. We have to put in this Tonu Rabbonon Ein Tzorich Vemorishin Dami Chochem V'Keni Amo Oretz, because we didn't know all this in the Mishnah. But at the time of the Mishnah itself, when they went to the Mishnah, there was no question about it. It was simple. You didn't have to have a lexicon, you didn't have to have a grammar, you didn't have to have a dictionary. It's simple. You understand a little bit what I'm saying? That's all it is. But you've got to be aware of that when you learn Gemara. That's the way it works. Right, let us go on, please.
I'll just ask, when you said that before this, that people knew what it all meant,
yes.
When you say people, you don't mean the whole population.
It's surprising, you know, there was a time when a woman who was a water carrier knew, in the time of Chizki Yuha Melech, the women who were water carriers, children before their bar mitzvah, knew things that we don't know today. In Taurus, knew things that we don't know today. And we just don't know what it was like. And I always tell my Talmidim that I've got a very great advantage. I still saw the reservoir of Torah learning before it was destroyed. I still saw that. It went on there. And I want to tell you that even today there are, I don't want you to get a false picture. And I'm telling you the other side of it, in Hirtz Hashem, your own children see that they get a proper Torah education from the very beginning. I went into a cheder in Eretz Yisrael, little ones, 5 years old. They know the whole of the Chumash, anywhere, it's absolutely at home in it. 5 years old. I went into a yeshiva, there were children 10, 11 years old. First 20 pages of Bava Kama Bahat. You see, we are still there's still something of this going on. And it's good to know this. But in those days, there was no question about it. No question about it. I mean, when I studied in Telge, they had a women's shiur every Shabbos afternoon in which they did one parsha of the Torah. So they went through the whole of Chumash in 7 years. And when I was there, they had a siyum came through women's in 7 years. Well, these women, and there were about 130 of them. It's a small town. There were 130, at least 130 women. These women, when they did this one parsha, they knew the stuff. When we used to be invited over on a Friday night, we used to work on what they can possibly ask us before the Anderlecht weren't prepared to be caught. The Motiv Gifter, the Rosh Hashiva of Tears, today is a great Rosh Hashiva. The Motiv Gifter was once at a home, and they started asking the question what happened at a certain shiur. And at that shiur, he wasn't listening to that shiur. Motiv had a very good day. He was working out his own things at that shiur. So he started the lady of the house was the sister of the person who gave the shiur. So she said, my brother gave a shiur, he spoke about this, didn't he? Oh, yes. So he started to put it together, you see. And she wasn't altogether happy about it. So early the next morning, Motto was with me. He said, did you listen to the shiur? I said, yes. He said, what went on there? So I told him. Good heavens, I'll make a mess of this. Anyway, he got it straight, and you think she didn't call him, ask him to come and see her? He went to see her. He said, my brother didn't say what you said. He said, no. What did I say? And then he got it right, but then by then he knew it and he gave her a run for her money, which he could do. Which he could do, but then he was prepared already. But we used to, I mean, this is in my day. You were dealing with women in Telge, yes, in Telge in Europe. You had another type of person too. That's stupid. I'm speaking about this type of person. Right, let's go on now. Poskola hachmislo elef dinor. This is a hard piece for you, Daniel.
Do you want me to shred it?
Do you want me rather to give it to another person and then I'll come back to you for an easier piece?
Fine.
I think so, because you are newer on this. Posko.
Posko laf nislo elodino. If she put down.
You see, it quotes the Mishnah, but it says kula. So it's the whole piece it's quoting. Posko laf nislo, the whole piece it's quoting, and the Gemara is really concerned about
the repetition.
The repetition is concerned about the repetition. Yes. Says the Gemara. Ainu.
Yes, the Gemara. Is there any question?
Asks the Gemara, yes.
As you want. Hainu Reisha. It's the same thing as a Reisha. So in other words, a Reisha, the beginning of Korah, part of it, is talking about the giving an extra fifth. And here you are saying the same thing.
We're saying the same thing. We're saying giving an extra Reisha. And then it says that if the assessment is 100, then she's got to give 125. And if the assessment is 400,
sorry to interrupt you, but please explain this very slowly to the section, because when we posited this, we had some trouble. Because it says the first part, speaking of 1,000, the first part of 1,000, there is no repetition, because that's 1,500.
That's why I said, when it says, Poskel hachis no elef dinor, it doesn't stop there. It says kula. Etc.
Well, how far does that kugel go?
To the bottom of the page.
So the entire Mishnah.
From there onward.
To the end of the Mishnah.
From there till the end.
Yes, don't forget. I must explain something to you. If you will look into the Mishnayos, you will see this Mishnah divided into two separate Mishnahs.
Yes.
Completely two separate Mishnahs. Haposek Moos Lachosno Mes Kosno Omrukachom Yochel Wikiomalochiko Yisirotelitim Velicho Efshilite. Full stop, period, end of the Mishnah.
Right.
Now comes a new Mishnah altogether. So what the Gemara is doing now, Poska, they dealt with the first Mishnah, now the Gemara Poska is dealing with the second Mishnah. Do you understand, Charles?
Yes, that makes me relatively happy.
Fine, all right. I hope you'll be more than relatively happy. I hope you'll be absolutely happy.
Rabbi,
yes.
I think it's just probably that you're puzzling this.
Yes.
Ratio means the first part. Is it a generic term? Does ratio mean the
first
part?
What do you think it means, ratio? What is it referring to?
Okay, I thought it would be referring to the statement in the Mishnah which says, Oscar Lahakmis lo elef dinar, uposse canadian famacious raimon.
Yes.
And that's the first part of the, that's what the verse is going to speak about.
Now. Yes, you see, now, Charles used the word relative. Here, it's apposite to use the word relative. When you use ratio and sefer, it is relative to what part of the Mishnah you are dealing with. If you are dealing with the second part of the Mishnah, if you're dealing with the sefer has also got a ratio and a sefer. You follow? So what we are really dealing with is only the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah says, Shum b'mona hina sene shloshim ve'echot sela v'dina. Uva arba meos hina sene shomesh me'dina. Uchenegra shum hu posek pochus it goes on this. Uchenegra shum hu posek pochus chomesh. Right?
So
that's the ratio.
That whole thing is the ratio?
No. Uchaneged Hashum hu posek pochus chomesh.
That's the general call.
Yeah. Yes.
What happened to the
local? That's the ratio. The ratio gives the general call.
Well, it's different from the second part, because the first part is whether he's reducing a certain percent.
Wait.
The second part he's adding.
Okay. The ratio... Can we just learn what ratio in general means?
Ratio means the first part of that which is coming under consideration.
Okay.
I've got to first of all decide what is coming under consideration. That which is coming under consideration is the first part and the second part, the ratio and the second. So what is coming under consideration, Jack?
The part where he takes away
it. Takes away it.
Yes.
Right. And that, right, so where's the ratio? The ratio is... Ucheneged Hashum hu posek pochus chomesh. Shum v'mona v'sho v'mona eino elo mono. That is the ratio. The sefer, shum v'mono hina senes shloshim v'echot selo v'dinor uva arba meyas hina senes chomesh meyas. That's the sefer. Have you got that?
No.
You don't have got
that. Then where does the first part fit in with the yellow dinor?
Yeah, with the Allah.
Which part?
We have three parts of the Mishnah.
That's right.
We have the first part says that he has to give more than a fifth.
Yes.
I mean, a third.
That. Now, that part of the Mishnah says the Gemara, we don't have to discuss.
Yes.
Can you understand it or can't you understand?
We don't have to discuss it.
So we are starting only, from where it says, Uchaneged Hashum hu posek pochus chomesh. That's from where we started.
Yeah.
So that is the part that comes under consideration. So for our purpose, we, for under examination, the Mishnah that we, the part of the Mishnah that we are putting under the microscope is from Uchaneged HaShum Hu Posek Pochus Chomesh.
Yes.
Right.
What's confusing, maybe I should have asked this when we did the Mishnah, after making that statement, the Mishnah then talks about something which isn't the
no.
Posek Pochus Chomesh.
No.
Yeah,
but shumba mono v'shova mono eino elo mono, which is very good. He says, an assessment that is made in the house of the color, he reduces it by 20%. But an assessment that is made independently, that assessment then it remains as it is. That's the ratio. The Sefer, Shum b'mona, hino sene shlonchi b'echot sene v'dino. That's the Sefer.
Okay.
That's the part that's under the microscope. So that is the Sefer. So, but the Sefer is the same as the ratio. It just spells it out. Ask the Gemara, hainu ratio, but that is the ratio. This little bit here, that he says, Shum b'mona hinas hinas shloshim v'echot sela v'dinar uva arba meos hinas hinas chomesh. Isn't that the same as the ratio?
Yes.
See, that's the question.
What was confusing me is I was looking at the
Shum b'mona
v'shum mona and ainli elamona. I was looking at it as another part by itself, and we're learning it now. We're combining it with the...
That's the ratio.
Okay.
That's the ratio. That's all he is.
How, okay, included in the Gemara, it says, it speaks of the Elad Dinar and the rest, okay?
It's not, it just, all it says is, it quotes now this Mishnah that starts with the words, Poskola Achlista Elad Dinar, this whole Mishnah.
Right.
Now, we're going to... Of that
okay,
Mishnah.
So then it says we're going to look at the first part of that Mishnah.
Oh, pardon?
It says we're going to look at the Resha of
that is the Mishnah.
Right.
Of that Mishnah, we're going to put this part of the Mishnah under the microscope.
That's fine. I'm happy up to that point. I only have one problem.
Yes.
Then, from the section dealing with what she brings into the marriage, we can say what's the Resha and what's the Seva. Then I'll say, very nice, the first part has got to include, she brings in 1,000, he values it at 1,500.
No, that's because we're not dealing with that.
How do we know we're not dealing with that?
Because there's no difficulty about that. And you can see, if you're going to start with that, then the Gemara doesn't make any sense.
All right.
As you found out,
of course.
You
know, here. If you have
only to that part that you examine, you see, that part which you're taking under examination only this part.
Then why does it not say, if we're going to examine the part, why does it start with the first line of that part which we are going to examine? Because the first line it begins with is part we're not examining.
Because
the part dealing with Elef Dinar is not under examination.
Yes, you see, you want it so easy. The Gemara, you want it so easy. The Gemara, yes. What either you're learning with the teacher who pointed out to you, or you don't need that stage already. You've got it without a teacher. Do you follow? That's all it is. There's no difficulty here. Ask the Gemara Hainu Ratio, please.
But
you want me to put it onto the board for you? Do you want me to put it onto the board and make it simpler? All that the Gemara is doing, it's taking that part which is it's scrutinizing.
So whenever we use the term ratio, it implies there has to be a safer to it. Right.
Yes, when you say ratio, say 4 years.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
The
ask the Gemara. Hainu ratio. This is the ratio, so you've got to find what is the safer experience. It says, but this is the same as the ratio. The first part we are come across, that is, shum b'monahinas in ishrechim v'echot selavadinor. That is the... So, that ratio is the same as the seifor. That seifor is the same as the ratio. What is the ratio? Uchenegra shumu posik pochus chomesh. Yes. Ask the Gemara hainu ratio.
The only problem I have is that why does it bring down this portion of the Mishnah as a preface?
I beg your pardon?
According to the
question.
Is that why the question? Why the
because the ratio could be. No, because the ratio could be the first part. You see. They're giving you.
I did
say. Breaking it down.
You see, you've got to understand
that
if when you look into a Mishnah, as you'll find that this Mishnah ends here and that's all there is to it, then there's a second Mishnah.
Right.
This is Mishnah 1, Mishnah 2, Mishnah 3. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. G, all this is Mishnah 3.
Right.
Now he says, Poskulach Mishlo Elef Dino Huposikine Chomesh Esremone De Mono. No different, no question.
Mm-hmm.
So that part we don't have to worry about.
Right.
Now, but the second, this part, the latter part of it, we've got to worry about. So we are starting examining from here. So your question is, why does it bring? I want to tell you something. If you were to look up an old Gemara, let us say the Munich Codex, I'm certain that you wouldn't find Poskulach Mishlo Elef Dino at all. You just find a stop there and says, ask Hainu Reisho. You wouldn't find that at all there. So they're doing you the favor by putting it in that you shouldn't get mixed up with things, you see. It's just they're making it easier for you, which they shouldn't do.
The reason it's confusing me is because I'm used to seeing, now that they have made it easier by putting in the preface, I'm used to seeing the preface talking exactly.
Yes,
in other words, when the Gemara starts taking the Shiloh, it usually goes directly on the preface.
But in Gemara, you've got to be flexible. I want to tell you, it's going to help you too. I'm sorry, Mark isn't here. It might relieve you. Do you think I didn't have the difficulty when I learned the Gemara? I also learned it like that. I also did exactly what you were doing. When I learn the Gemara and I prepare the Gemara and I work it, I also learn it. Poskulach Mishlo Elef Dino. Hainu Reisho. But then what is this ratio? But I go on. What is the ratio? It can't be that. And then I work it out. Then I understand.
Yes, if you look at the Rashi in the
past. Then I can understand what it's about. You follow, yes?
Yeah.
Ask the Gemara, Hainu Reisho. So I must ask, what is the ratio? This is the same as the ratio. What is, when it says Shumba Mona, that if it's put in, they say that what she brings in is worth a Mona, then she's got to, and he's got to write a Mona, then she's got to give 125. But that is the ratio.
That's the ratio.
And another thing is the ratio. Uva arba mea modus ina senish chomesh meos. And 400 he's got to give 500. That's also the ratio. It's also the ratio. Yes, go on.
Answers the Gemara.
Oh, that's the key. Answers the Gemara. Tono.
Shuma, Rabba.
Can you see the word shuma outspelled here?
Right.
It's the same word as the Gemara there in the Aramaic here. Pause, yes. It gives a big shuma and it gives a small shuma, yes?
Tana shuma didei. He gives a shuma which apparently is his accounting, because Tana shuma dida, and it gives a shuma which is hers.
Yes, because poskel hachlish nev elef dinor, I'm sorry, Uchenegid Hashum, who posek pochus chomesh. That is his shuma. And if it's her shuma, she adds to it. That's what it does. Now, if you want to know why, Rashi goes through that, why it should be like that.
I can understand the Nidei and the Dida.
I'm sorry, I'm just talking to Rashi.
I can understand the Dida and the Dida, where, you know, they're just working in different directions. What's the difference between a big one and a small one? This is still the same calculation. Would you think that
the
larger the amount, the percentage would...
Rashi...
Is the answer that the larger the amount, the percentage, you might think the percentage would change?
No, no. Rashi explains that. And he says it's got to be... People are strange animals. Human beings are strange animals. It's easier to understand an animal than it is a human being. Because you know exactly what an animal is going to do. If you've got a rattlesnake, you know he's going to bite you. If you've got a tiger, you know he's going to devour you. And you know exactly with whom you're dealing. If it's a dog and he's wagging his tail, you know that he wants to be patted. You know exactly. A human being can, you know what he's going to do. You never know. It's a difficult thing. They want to make it more. It's possible that if it is more in any case, then they are satisfied. If it's 10,000, it's not that it's worth 8,000, they want to make it 10,000. If they make it 10,000, it's worth 10,000, then that they don't worry. Gemara says, no, it's not like that. 10,000, they want a bit still more. And if it's a little bit they're not worried about. A little bit people are not worried about. See the Gemara? No. A little bit they also want to make it more. So it's possible to say a little bit, then they're interested in making it more for the covered color. But if it's a lot, it's not. So they make it all the time, they put it all the time. That is the way Rashi explains it. And I don't want to spend more time on it because I want you to get into the Gemara here. I'll do the Rashi with you. Yes.
Can we just do that last line of the Gemara inside? Tana Shema Yudah, the Katana Shema Yudah.
Yes.
I didn't understand how we learned that
inside. Tana Shema Yudah, we learned that learns where he Shumodi day, where he puts into the kasuba 100, which means that she was giving him 125.
Yes.
And we put Tono Shumodi day, we put and she's Ukatoni Shumodi do, and we put in where she gives 100 and he puts in 20. When the Shuma is hers, then he puts in 80.
Wait. Are we talking about the first case where he adds a third?
Shuma di day is where he writes, he says, fine, I'll put in 100.
Where she's giving him 125.
Then she must give him 125.
Yes.
That is his Shuma.
That's Shuma Dida.
That's Shuma Dida. Oh. That's his Shuma.
I see.
Then we do Shuma Dido, where Dido is where she says, it's 100. Then he writes in 80.
That's how the Mishnah does it.
That's how the Mishnah does it.
No, actually, they do it the other way around. I mean, I know what he's.
In the order, are you wondering about the order?
They're not answering it in the order because they should be really saying, Haina Reisha, Tana Shuma Dida, Vekatani Shuma Dida, and then they should say Shuma Ruba, Vekatani Shuma Zuta. Because the Ruba and Zuta is the second part of the thing. They're twisting it around, I don't know why.
No, it's whatever comes last, that's how you start with.
Are we pardon?
Whatever.
Rabbi,
the order is whatever you end with. That's what it is.
No, it's not.
The first Shumba Mona Vash. No, it says Uchenegad Hashum. Who poses Pochus Chovash? Uchenegad Hashum. He gives less a third. That is, if the Shum is 100, he gives half. He gives 80.
English, you deal with
whose shoe is
Hebrew?
Oh, really?
No, it's her shoe.
That is
she says. Then it goes back to eight.
That's the general.
Yes. Afterwards, it says Shum the Mona. She's got to give 125. That is Shum. That is his shum is 100. She's got to give 125. That's all.
So we're learning two things here. We're learning one, the first part of this Gemara that Saul read was about why we need the 100 and the 125 and the 400 and the 500.
Yes.
Right. And then the second part is saying why we have to explain whether it's his shum or her
shum. That's right. So the Gemara says it does, but Rashi is more explicit on this. But I've got to move on in the Gemara, and I'm putting the Rashi for the Chazora. When you do the Chazora, then you do the Rashi. But I've got to get onto the new Gemara now. Now, here the Gemara does something else. The Mishnah does something else. Daniel, start the Mishnah, I'll help you. This is a new Mishnah. Phil, you come into this Mishnah, please. Posko, have you got some idea of what's going on here? Phil, you missed last time.
Yeah.
Were you able to bring the student up a little bit?
Yeah.
Philip, something, just so that you've got some idea of what's going on. Yes. Posko lahachnis leu.
Look.
Kesofim. She arranges to bring into the marriage Kesofim. And Kesofim, monies. As against Kalim. Quite right. Now, what is it? It's Mezumonim. This is Mezumonim. Ready cash. This is what means ready cash.
Liquid assets.
Posko, she arranges lahachnis lo. Say it please, Daniel. Posko
lahachnis lo
kesofim. She arranges to bring in for him money. Then sal o
shisho
dinorim. Now, let us just see what happens. In the Mishnah, what did we have in the Mishnah? If she brings in 1,000 dinorim, how much does he give? 1,500. So you know the proportion. So if she brings in 4 dinorim, how much would he have to write in?
6.
That's what it tells us. So you're going to ask the obvious question.
What do we need to do this again for?
But you'll be able to give you the answer.
Big and small.
Big and small. That's all it is. It's big and small. I mean, 1,000 dinorim, can you wish for anything bigger than that? 1 sela, 40, can you wish for anything smaller than that? The two ends of the scale, that's all it's doing. So, Posko Daniel, Posko Lachlis, Nekasofim, Salo, she arranged to bring in money for him. The phrasing is she arranges to bring in money for him. Sal or her seller naase shisho dinorim becomes 6 dinorim. There are 4 dinorim in her seller, so her seller becomes 6 dinorim. Have you got it, David?
I think so.
Right. Now that is what finished. Now here comes a new Mishnah again. Carry on from there, please, Larry.
Hachatan.
Sephardic.
Sephardic.
Hechatan. No, it's not Hechatan. It's Hechatan.
Hechatan.
Mikabel.
Mikabel olav.
Asara.
Asara dinarim.
Lechol
mana umana.
Oh, how many dirarim in a mana?
100.
Good. Now here comes an interesting thing. We are told. Please listen to this. Hechatam mekabel alav asara dinarim lekupa lechol mana umana. The chosen takes upon himself 10 dinorim for the kupa, for every 1,000, for every 100 that she brings in. So if she brings in 1,000 dinarim, then he's got to put 100 into the kupa for her. The kupa is the chest.
Is this in addition to the
what's the chest for? What does a woman need?
Clothing.
Ksutaba. No, clothing is always, that he's responsible for. A woman needs powder, rouge, cement, eau de cologne.
I just wouldn't know these things.
What other things? That's time you did know. All these things a woman needs. She needs these things. She needs these things. A man doesn't need these things unless he's living in California. A man doesn't need these things. A woman needs these things. Those are the things she needs. And if a woman needs these things, they mean a lot to a woman. So a husband has got to make it available. If she brings in 1,000 dinarim, 100 dinarim goes for that purpose.
That's in addition to the...
That's fine, that's a separate thing. That he's got to give, he's got obligations too. She brings in that, then he's got to give that in the, besides that he's got to give 1,500, that's one thing. Now he's got to give her, 100 dinarim for the chest, and the kupa is used, for that purpose.
And I think the more money she brings in, that indicates the richer family, and the more these sorts of things she's used to having.
Well, I suppose so, yes, of course.
So it means that Cooper would now have 1,100.
The Cooper? No.
The Cooper,
that's 1,000 goes into his business. The UTP has got nothing to do with that. He gives her now into the Cooper goes... 100.
So he basically is getting 900.
No, it doesn't work like that.
No.
It doesn't work like that, you see. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like
take
that.
Take it out of that.
If he wants to take out of that, he can take out of that. It doesn't matter. But it means that he gives her 100 into her kupa. So she's got 100.
Can you read this again, please? All right. I'm not understanding the words correctly.
החתן מקבל עליו עשר הדינרים לקופה לכל מנה ומנה. וחתן takes upon himself 10 דינרים for the קופה for every 100 and 100. This is an expression. לכל מנה ומנה is for every 100.
For every 100 of what?
For every 100 דינרים that he, she gives, brings into the marriage.
He has to give
10. He has to give 10 dinarim
to the kupa.
For the kupa. 10%.
Okay. So, I thought we just supposed to last a lifetime.
He has to give
100.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
ask.
No, he's 1,000. That's all. He's got to give 10%. But the main question you're not asking.
How often does he have to give?
Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. Now, if you just look at the Rashi, here I want to do the Rashi. Here I want to do the Rashi. But let us finish the Gemara, and then we'll do the Rashi on this. That is nice, Dan. You finish it off. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, come on. Dan, like, Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon?
Rabbi Shimon got... Ben Gamliel.
Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, take the next word together.
Omer.
Yes.
Hakol. Hakol Mana.
Kaminhag. Kaminhog.
Kaminhag.
Hamadino.
Hamadino.
Now Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel says, and Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel goes on everything we have learned. He says, Hakol Kamino Gamadino. He says whether he's going to give 1,000 and he gives 1,500 and he reduces in the shum. He says everything depends upon the min and the medino. In Germany, you can be quite sure that in Germany they would never have said the kelim that she brings into the house is 100 marks. They would never have said so. They say the kelim that she brings into the house is 107 marks, 39 pfennig. That's the way they did it. That you can be quite sure. So in Germany you don't add the fifth. And you don't take out the fifth. We don't Germans here, are we?
No first generation.
If you say, it doesn't matter, there's nothing wrong with it. But you've got to be that way inclined, you see. You've got to be way that inclined.
Don't use Hungarians as an
example. I beg pardon?
Don't use Hungarians as an example.
All right, I'll be careful. Rabbi Shimon Begamri, Omar Akil Kamina Gamadina. Everything depends on the, and the Rambam functions like that. He said in these things you've got to go according to Mina Gamadina. But I just want to warn you about something. Sometimes you live in a Mina, in a Medina that hasn't got a Mina. Take California. Yeah, but I'm sorry. Take California. It hasn't got. We're going to come after Pesach. After Pesach, there is a period in which one doesn't. A period of ceremony. There are no marriages that take place. From Pesach to. Now. But there are minhagim. Some minhagim is from Erev Pesach until Lag BaOmer, nowhere. From Lag BaOmer, yes. Another minhag is from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Shlosh Yom HaGur. That is my minhag. That's my minhag. You come to California, I had a case, I want to find out what the minhag is. I phoned one rabbi, he didn't know what I was speaking about. I phoned another rabbi, he said, I said, do you make weddings, between Pesach and, Rosh Chodesh? He said, yes. I thought I'd better be careful. Do you make weddings between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos? He said, yes. So I said, how do you do this? He said, look up Reb Moshe Feinstein, this and this, tshuva, and then he tells you. I know Reb Moshe Feinstein, tshuva. I said, excuse me. Reb Moshe Feinstein is speaking about a wedding that takes place in Borough Park, where they've got 1 minute, and in the North Bronx, where they've got another minhag. And he says that if you live in Borough Park, and your minhag is to keep it from... So I said to him, you know, please explain it to me. I know that you are a person, it is a responsible person. I said, there must be something. You know these things. You're a responsible person. Explain it to me. She said, what can I do with my congregation? I know what he meant. He meant, what can I do with my president's wife? A friend of her wants to get married now, insists you can get married now. And she's made inquiry, you can get married in this day. Why have you got to keep the other one? Well, you can get married. He said, what can I do? He is in that position. He's that kind of rabbi, he's got that kind of congregation. That is the bed that he has made for himself. At least that is the bed that the president's wife made for him, and that is the bed that he has accepted. That's what it is. It's an unfortunate thing. But what it works out is that there isn't an established minhag. If there was an established minhag, he would be in a much stronger position. So we are living in a place where there isn't a minhag. If there isn't a minhag, then you take this. Then you work on it. Then you take this, and then you take this. mean, once the kizlik mean the king, you take it. And you make this your basis. And this is on what you work. And you've got something to work on. Yes?
And the explanation of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's Shuva, it means it goes on the plate. If someone's particular, minhag is verse 33.
You've got to understand. I mean, I don't know why he had to write a Shuva about it. It's so simple. If I don't put on my tefillin on Chol HaMoed, by the way, I do, but to say I don't, and I come to a, let us say I do put on my tefillin Chol HaMoed, I come to a place where they don't put on their Chol HaMoed, and I take my talis bag and I look around, nobody's got his tefillin on. What do you think I'll do?
We could just fill it back in your talis bag.
I then put it off.
Then put it on later.
But I then put it on. I'm in a place where they don't put it on. So I don't put it on. If I were to go to a place where they do put it on, I would put it on. Even if I don't put it on, I would put it on. Are you being in a place where they put it on? Well, it's an easel. And if you have got a meaning not to put it on and you do put it on, is it an easel? It's not an issue. A prohibition. It's not a prohibition. It's not the minog, which is, this is a precedent. It's a minog, some places do it like that, and some places do it like that. There is a minog which is a precedent, there you can't move. So just one moment. So here you've got a minog, some keep it from Pesach to Lag BaOmer, some keep it from Rosh Chodesh, until 3 days before Shavuos. It depends on the minhag.
Yes.
In my own place, this is my minhag. If I go to another place, does it mean to say I can't take part in that wedding? That is their minhag, and I am there. For the time being that I am there, Firi Sacha Zevi Zay, I conduct myself as they do. That's the deen.
Does this apply to all minhag? Like, for example,
you were here when I explained different types of minhag. There is a minhag that there is a precedent. There is a minhag which is a custom. And there is a minhag which is a minhag shtus, which is just nonsense.
But
there are those three types of minhag.
A big
pardon?
Dairy.
Can't hear.
Weddings from meat to dairy.
From waiting?
From eating meat to eating dairy. Some people wait 6 hours, some people wait 3 hours, and then you change.
You see, there you are in a slightly difficult thing. I wait 6 hours. When I am in a place where they don't wait 6 hours, I don't wait 6 hours. When I'm in a place where they don't wait 6 hours, I wait 6 hours. Then I wait 6 hours. But then you see, you've got to be certain. You've got to be certain that the minhag is right. You've got to be certain that the minhag is right. There is a minhag in Holland to wait 1 hour. Now, this is a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramo. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about in 6 hours, and the Ramo speaks about 1 hour. The reason for that is because in the Gemara it says, Bein Se'uda V'Se'uda. You don't eat, if you've had meat at one Se'uda, at one meal, you don't eat meat again, you don't eat milk until the next Se'uda. Says the Shulchan Aruch that it is 6 hours. The Rambam says it's 6 hours, the Shulchan Aruch says it's 6 hours. We take it 6 hours. The Ramo says it's 1 hour. Now he's got a tradition that it's 1 hour. That's the, his tradition has come down, and he puts in Vegesha. I mean, he says there are others who say that it's an hour. I have been to places where they say we keep an hour. I say, why do you keep an hour? The Ramo says an hour. That you can't do.
Well,
what is your minhag? How long did your father keep? How long did he keep? My father, he was a fanatic. He kept 6 hours. You can't go and just change it like that. That you can't do. That you can't do.
3 hours.
Three hours. There must be some source for it. Not in Poskim, there's no source for it. But this Bain Sa'uda, Le Sa'uda, they must have taken that in their country, it's 3 hours. They wait between one meal and another meal. They wait 3 hours. So they took it on that. You follow? But I want to tell you that in Holland, it is an hour, but it goes back a very long time. That is really a minute. They've got the minute of an hour. They've always had that minute of an hour.
And if someone from Holland moves to somewhere else, they can still
keep They can still keep that hour. You see, but that is a different type of minute.
So that goes on the person rather than the place.
Yes. That is much more the person than the place already.
How do you know which minhag you switch to what other people do around you and what you keep?
Well, you ask a competent rabbi. And he knows how to look up and find out. He knows how to deal with it.
So in other words, we're learning now if someone always put on Tefillin Kol HaMoed,
yes,
and their father did all the way back, and they moved to a place where no one puts Tefillin Kol HaMoed.
Yes.
They should change their minhag.
No, when you go to shul, you don't put it on. But for yourself, you keep it. Just keep it for you. That is the way I always paskin. Now, I belong to a school that paskins like that. This is the Gorn school. And this is the way the Gorn school paskins. And it's based on the forces. It's based on the... And it comes down to me from my teacher who got it from his teacher, who got it from his girl. It just comes down like that. And that is the way I work. Now, I'm in a place which is called San Jose. Oh, is that why you always say Chafoha? Because they say San Jose, they always say.
No. San Jose. Yeah.
Now, this is what it says, you see. It says, Zechor Yemos Olam B'Mishna, Sha'alo B'Yicho B'Yageda, for ask your father and he'll tell it to you. Zekeinecho, your forebears, the Yomurach, and they will explain it to you. So you ask your father and your forebears. So I had last, I don't remember when it was, I've got a young man in my congregation, awfully nice person, and he came to me and he said, must I put on my tefillin on Chabad? I said, Ferdinand, that wasn't his name, by the way. Well, what did your father do? He said, my father didn't put on tefillin. Your grandfather. He said, my grandfather didn't put on tefillin. He said, your grandfather didn't put on tefillin. I said, you know anything about your grandfather? He said, yes. He said, what did your grandfather do? He said, my grandfather wouldn't look at tefillin. Nothing. So he hasn't got it enough. He just hasn't got it. He doesn't know. Doesn't know, then I've got to decide what to do. I said, okay, you are my Talmid. In my congregation, I made it perfectly clear that it's not a minhag that I've established. I put on my tefillin because there isn't an established minhag, and I'm not prepared to force it on them. Then it's not really a minhag. I put it on. But it's worked out that they put on their tefillin now. But when I came and some did, I said in my congregation, it's too small to have an established minhag. Each one does what has come down to him. That is the way he does it. I didn't realize to what extent I'm dealing with people who haven't got any past. They haven't got a past. Through no fault of their own. You haven't got a past, then this is the way you deal with it. But there's an answer to it. You follow what I'm saying, Mark? That's the way it's dealt with. So that is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, it's according to the Minhag HaMokom. That is anything worrying you? What are you trying to remember?
What am I trying to remember?
Yes, what you put in.
I was just writing down today's date.
Oh. Right. Yes.
You're saying that if you don't have a minute, that you inherit it, so in other words, if you don't know what the minute of your great grandparents.
Yes.
Let's say that you would establish a minute for yourself without talking to a rabbi.
Yes.
And you had done this over a couple of years.
Yes.
Then you spoke to a rabbi, but so you talked about the keeping the hours between the
minutes. Yes.
Let's say you established arbitrarily 3 hours, not knowing whatever it was he's saying at first for 3 hours. Would it be appropriate at that time to change it if you talk to a rabbi?
It depends on the circumstances. I might say carry on with your 3 hours. I might say carry on with your 3 hours. You follow? I mean, there's another minog. There's another minog of till the sixth hour. You don't wait 6 hours. Mm-hmm. 5 hours and 1 minute. Into the sixth hour is fine. It's all right. And I'm prepared to let it go at that. I know that it's difficult. In South Africa, we used to have difficulty. There, the lunch hour was from 1 to 2. So, all right, you finished it at 1 o'clock. You had from 1, so you finished your lunch at half past 1. At half past 1, it meant 6 hours that you couldn't sit down to eat supper at night until half past 7. But at 7 o'clock, the servants go. Now, when you're living in that society, this is a big problem. You've got you haven't got servants in Australia. So when you've got servants, this is a problem. The servants want to be out by 7. They don't want to stand. It's only fair. You worry about yourself.
You're getting
good often. So you live, you know, that's all right, so it's into the sixth hour, it's 5 hours and a bit. You're in the position that you want to accommodate Mayor's reason. You can do that sort of thing. So you do that sort of thing. Please, let us carry on. So that is the Mishnah. Now, asks the Gemara, Hainu.
Can I ask one simple question? What Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was saying, Hakol Kamina Kamadina,
yes,
that applied to his time.
No, he says he paskens like, for all time it depends on the Mino Gamadino. He says, the way I deal with this is it depends on the Mino, and that's the way the Rambam paskens. It depends on the meaning of the Medina. Depends. In some Medinos, in Germany. In Germany, he said, if it is 100, then leave it at 100. You can be quite sure it's 100. Mm-hmm. Then leave it at 100. That's the way they do things there. That's the meaning. So you do it like that. It might be a place where they make it twice as much.
I take it we have not yet answered the question as to how often we do.
Very good. Let's do the Rashi. Poskola hachmis lok sofi. She arranges to bring into the marriage kesofim. Shehein muchonim lischar miyat. Shehein muchonim. They are ready. Muchon is to be ready. Shehein muchonim lischar. To make profit from immediately. They're on the Zumoni. The money is in Zumoni, it's here. Immediately he takes it, he's already doing business with it. You see? Zumoni miyad. Sal o naase. Her selo becomes lichtev bishtara kesubo. to write into the shtar of the document of the kesubo the shisho dinor, 6 dinor. Her seller becomes 6 dinorim. Her 4 dinorim becomes 6 dinorim. Yosei shlish, an increase of a third. Kidisnan le'el, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, 1,000 limits to 1,500. Uvi gemora meforish hosu lomri. The Gemara would explain, why have we still got to have this? We can deduce it from the previous Mishnah. That the Gemara will explain. So we don't need to have sleepless nights about it. Lekupo, for every 100 that he brings in, he has got to, for every 100 that she brings in, he's got to put 10 into the kupo, the kupo. The Gemara Meforish, in the Gemara it explains, She yitein lo asoro zuz lechol mono umono, she he may be or lo, that he gives 10 zuzim, or 10 dimorim, for every 100 that she brings in. The hiknu lo mehem besomim, and with that, the somim are bought, and the somim are cosmetics here. Here it means cosmetics are bought. Lirchotz bohem, to wash with them, soaps and bath salts. The tamruke atanosh anoshim, in the cosmetics of women, shekach shiru, because so they assess. A woman that brings to her husband 100 dinorim, then she is entitled to besomim for cosmetics for 10 zuzim. Now look at this Rashi. Velo pirshu b'mishnah, and in the Mishnah they didn't explain im lechol yom, whether this is every day, im lechol Shabbos, or this is every week, im lechol Chodesh, or for this is once a month, im lechol Shona, or this is a yearly amount. Doesn't say.
Don't we know that?
We don't know.
I mean, we know that it doesn't say.
So don't worry about it now. Let's do the Gemara and see if we can find out anything from the Gemara. So we go to the Gemara.
Are you happy, Jerry?
No.
Then why shouldn't you be happy? But you know that it's a problem.
Yes.
Once you know it's a problem, all right, then we're dealing with it. So that should make you happy.
Okay. It makes me happy when I know the answer.
No. You should already be happy with the question. Don't forget, if you ask the right question, then you're more than halfway there. That's the whole thing.
Rabbi,
yes.
Rashi didn't include the example, I don't mean to kick a dead horse or something, but he didn't include the example of the possibility that it's just that one time when he comes into the marriage.
You're absolutely right.
Why doesn't he include that possibility?
He's just saying, he said, I don't even know
how he doesn't know where.
You're absolutely right.
But wouldn't that be a logical
word? We don't know if it's every day or once only for the rest of their life. And that would
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You see, I don't want to view before we come to the Gemara, then I rob you of all the excitement that the Gemara's got in store for you.
We're just trying to ask the right questions.
Yeah, that's all, but that's right. Well, let us go on a little bit in the Gemara. I'm afraid that I'll have to say this piece of Gemara now because I've set myself a minimum to cover. Phil, are you a little bit happier than when you came in?
Yeah.
Philip, thanks very much just for helping out a little bit there. If you could stuck because you wasn't here last time. But I think that you'll get it now. Hi, ask the Gemara. Hi, nu pose kenegdom chamisho osor mono. Now you've got to be able to know what the question is. The Gemara says, but this is what it says in the previous Mishnah, that he puts aside 1,500 dinorim. That's the same thing, it's the same proportion. But you must say, Yeravat it says that for every seller she brings in, he writes down 6 denarim. That is exactly the same that for she brings in a thousand, he's got to give 50, 100. Answers the Gemara, Tano isko rabo, the Tano isko zuto. The Tano gives a big business arrangement, and the Tano gives a small business arrangement. Have you got it? The Mishnah gives a big business arrangement, and says the Gemara, utzricho, and it is necessary. And now the Gemara makes the tzrichosa, explains why it's necessary. The Itano is korabo, because if the Mishnah would have only learned if she brings in 1,000, he's got to write 1,500, the Nofi Shravcho, I would say, because there is a lot of profit, one can make more profit from $1,000 than one can make from $4. $4, what can I do? $1,000, I can do something. So I would say, where it is a big sum, there he's got to give, he's got to add a third. But where it's a small sum, he doesn't have the avol isko zuto, but a small business arrangement, the zuto rabho, where the profit is little, aim or low. I would say it's not necessary. There one doesn't increase it, one leaves it at the amount. Tzricho, so it's necessary.
Are we saying that
aim or low tzricho? I would say that it's not necessary. Yes.
Are we saying that in the case of a isko zuto, that he wouldn't give anything, or that he would give a lesser amount than the one third?
No, then he gives you, you brought him $4, right? It's $4.
But that's not what the Gemara is saying, though. There's a small profit. So if it's small profit, he should be...
No,
I don't know how that makes the difference. You know?
I see what you mean. It's so small that you don't reckon with it.
It's 15 cents.
It's so small that you're not going to reckon with it. So, lo tzricho, I would say that it's not going to be. The I should be in an iskazuto. The question is, then let us say for 4 dinarim, you've got to put 6. And I would know that for 1,000 it's 1,500. The I should be in an iskazuto, I would say, the zuter ziyuno, because for him to make a profit from a very little amount, he does very little for it. Very little effort has got to go in. Avol isko rabba de nofish ziyuno. It's keeping books, it's doing all sorts of things. Amo lo, I would say that for a big one, that is the amount that goes in and nothing more. Tzricho, therefore, it's necessary to have both. Because I could work it either way. And since I can work it either way, it's necessary to have both. Now, just let us get on to the next piece of Gemara. Hechosen mekabel alo basora dinar lekupo. That is on the Gemara, for every 1,000, for every 100 that she brings in mezumonim, in cash, he gives 10 for the kupo. Asks the Gemara, my kupo, what is the chest? In the Mishnah, we've only got chest. What chest? Omar Rav Ashi Kupo Shel Besomim. This is the Kupo of Besomim, is really fragrances. The Omar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi said, Lo Nemru Devorim Alolu Ela Birushaloi. These things are to take, they said this only in Yerushalayim. Because it was only in Yerushalayim that they went out of their way with these kishutim. But we don't pass them.
What's kishutim?
Kishutim, adornments. Adornments. Boy Rav Ashi posed a question. B'mona ha-nishim o b'mona ha-miskabe. Has he got to give, let us say she brings in 1,000. has he got to give 10% of 1,000, that is, of the assessment, over Mona Miskabel, or 10% of what she's going to get, or of 1,500, it makes a big difference. Has he got to give 100, or has he got to give 150? Im Tim Saloma Mona Miskabel, and if you say that he's got to give from the 1,500, Yom Rishon, O Kol Yom Boyom, has he got to give only on the first day, or has he got to give every day? Im Tim Saloma, that means, does he give only once, or has he got to give every day? Yes?
I'm sorry,
it says Im Tim Saloma Mona. Yes. Im Mona Hamiskaber. If you say that you're working about on the 100 that she receives,
that would be 10%
of 1,000. That would be 10% of 1,000, yes. 10%, that means 100 dinars. You're quite right. If you will say that it's Mona Hamiskabel which she receives, which he takes upon himself, which is 1,500.
What
does he take upon himself to give?
Fifteen hundred.
Is it that Mona, or is it Mona Hanishu, or is it the Mona that has been evaluated, which is how much?
100.
1,000. Which is it? If you will say that it is the 1,500 one, Yom Rishon El Koryo, has he got to give it on only once on the first day, or has he got to give this every day?
Differences in me.
Are we pardon?
What difference does it make? If it's Mona Hamiskabel, or
it's a difference in...
No, it's a lot. No,
I understand that, but what difference does it make according to what the question that the Gemara is asking? I understand it's making a difference.
Yes.
The Gemara's question should be, first, there are two questions here, really.
Yeah. Yes.
One, which are we reckoning from? Is it what she's giving, or is what he has to give her back?
Yeah.
That's question number one. And question number two is, how often does he have to give this?
That's what they're saying.
But I don't know what the Gemara is saying.
Yes, he's asking that. He says, Boy Ravashi, the first question is, Bamona Anishim or Bamona Miskabe? Is it the 1,000 or is it the 1,500?
Right.
The Imtim Soloma, now let us assume.
That's what I have on.
Let us assume that it's Bamona Miskabe. But Tosfos says it makes no difference. It could have said either one.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's questioning the way they ask it.
Why not just say, how often should he have to give it?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But let's just do it. I want to do this piece more. Larry.
maybe this is not the right time to ask, but does this apply to every situation, or what about like a poor man? Is he required to give this on him too?
A poor man gets in $1,000,000. You'd be only too happy to
give
it. Not a poor man.
Okay.
It makes no difference.
So,
in Kim Salama Mona Miskabel, that is the Mona that he takes upon himself, Yom Rishon HaKolyom, does he only give it on the first day or every day? In Kim Salama Kolyom Boyom, if you say that he gives it every day, Shabbos Rishon or Kol Shabbos, is it only for the first week or every week? The Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos. Im Tim Tzolom Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos, if you say it's every week, Chodesh Rishon or Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh, is it only for the first month or is it every month? Im Tim Tzolom Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh, and if you say it's every month, Shona Rishon or Kol Shona V'Shona, or is it every month then?
Every year. Question.
Question. Yes, what's the question?
Why can't they just say how frequently instead of going through this whole procedure?
There are lots of questions, yeah. I'll come to it. Says the Gemara, take who we remain with the question. But Tosfos learns it.
Without even asking the next question. Actually, probably the answer doesn't matter because you probably go according to Rabban Gamliel.
That is, we do. You're quite right. We do go. But anyway, but there's still questions got to be taken as far as the Gemara is concerned. Now,
false questions.
Tosfos.
Yes, now, if you look at these two Tosfosin, that are immediately opposite, and I'm taking the Tosfosin before I take the Rashi, because these are what we call Pshat Tosfos. The Imtim Soloma B'mona HaMizkabel, have you got the Tosfos there?
Yes.
And if you will say B'mona HaMizkabel, V'hu Adin Lemoti Lemel Imtim Soloma B'mona HaLishu. It could have said, and if you will say that it's... Have you got the place in the... David, have you got the place?
Yeah.
V'imtim soloma v'mona miskabel, says Tosfos, v'hu adin lemoti lemer imtim soloma v'mona aneishim. It could have said, and if you would say that it's the mona, that it's the thousand, it could have said that too. So what Tosfos really means is that it, that's not the issue. It just takes it, so let's just say it's this. It could take anybody. But we'll see that we could, there's another way of also explaining it. Then the Tosfos get, Le'yam Rishon HaLechol Yom V'yom. Ask his Tosfos, how beitim yos elu abayas? There are many questions about these problems. The im hitain lo le'olom, ki demasik lechol shono v'shono. He says, one of the problems that it says it's asking, is it, it starts, is it on the first day, or is it every day? If you say it's every day, is it for the first week, or is it for every week? If you say it's for every week, is it every week of the first month, or of following months? If you will say it's for all months, is it for all months of the first year, for... So there's a possibility that it's every day, for every week, for every month, for every year. Says Tosfos, the im yitein lo la'olam ki demasik lechol shona v'shona. As it says, is it for every year? But eser dina lechol mono mono, he gives 10%, 10 dinorim for every 100 dinorim, le'yom for a day. How long will he be able to last out? The money goes. Elo Baxi's Tosfos body. This is certain. Nire, it sounds. The Eser Dine Hiteno Lechol Mono is Kashi Te Olo. All he is called upon is to give 10%. So if she brings in 1,000 dinorim, how much goes into the kupor? 100. Now listen to it. That's all. And it's only one.
One shot there.
One shot. Yeah. But this is the question of the Gemara. Does he give that 100 dinorim in one go? That's what it is. And she watches over it, and she sees it to make it last as long as it can. And afterwards there's no set amount, and he's got to decide how much to give her. But he came the peak of Odor, and he's got to give it according to her dignity. Oh, lo yitei lo bevasachas. Or we say no, he doesn't give it bevasachas. But he gives it, he puts it out each day, or anything. Then the questions arise. That is the way Tosfos explains it. Yes?
It's a very neat answer, but yes. The only problem is that isn't it obvious that when having to provide for your wife, you decide on the basis of who she is. In other words, if you know she's going to take this 100 and blow it on a fancy dress, and that she's not going to have any more for the rest of
You see, we are speaking, don't forget, we are speaking always about normal people, as normal as people can possibly be.
We speak with women.
You can tell you're a single guy. That in very many instances, there's more normalcy amongst women than there is amongst men. There's certainly practicality when it comes to the Gemara says so. that a woman is more practical than a man. Yes, I can't understand it for it. So, just as good to bear this all in mind. Today I'm working on the opposite side of the coin, as you can see. You see, we're speaking about, and we're not speaking about people who are trying to get out as much as possible. We're not speaking about that. We are speaking about a modus vivendi. That's all we are speaking about. And this is a modus vivendi. A man gets married. His wife brings him in $10,000. $1,000 immediately gets put away together. Gets put away. That's $1,000. The question is, does he give it to her in one shot, or does he give it to her spread over the first week, or does he give it to her spread over the first year? Or does he say, look, $1,000, I'm going to give you $50 a month for this sort of thing, and $1,000, all right, so how many months it will last for 2 years? For 20 months it will last. After 20 months, then we get, after 20 months, then he gives her. It's possible that during those 20 months, he's established himself very well, and she is a woman who's playing a part in affairs. He steps it up to $100. $100. It's possible that things have gone bad. Then he reduces it. But it's hakola fikvo do. It's according to her dignity. And you will notice that Tosfos says hakola fikvo do. It doesn't say it's according to what he can afford. And the din is that the wife's needs come before the husband's needs. The wife's needs come before the husband's needs. If it's a question of her a dress and for him a suit, her needs come first, because it means more to her than it means to him. And the din is, so the Rambam pastors, a man must love his wife as he loves himself, but honor her, he must honor her more than he loves himself, than he honors himself. To a woman it means much more. And they are very strict dinim, and they are very strict dinim on how to treat a woman. Just today, yesterday morning, early in the morning, I came across Rabbi Yosef divorced his wife. He went on supporting her. Gave her a kesuba. Went on supporting her. Why? Because it says in Yeshayahu, in the Torah of Yom Kippur, Umibsorecho Lotis Alam. Don't turn away from your own flesh. And we learn from that passage, we learn that it's a question, I must support my uncle or a strange person, my uncle comes first. If it's a question, my second cousin or somebody, my second cousin, I've got the nearer the person, the more is the responsibility. Because of that, he went on supporting his own wife. Although he had divorced her, or he had no connection anymore, nevertheless he went on supporting. These things were very, very, very careful about. I told you that a woman does not inherit her husband. If her husband dies, the woman doesn't inherit. But should it happen that the woman dies, the first thing that is done, she must be liftoffed. She must be liftoffed. The daughters must be looked after. But then nothing will remain in the estate for the sons. The Gemara says, Yadzur ala psochim. Those sons, they can go begging. The women can't go begging. The sons can go begging. The Ponovizhirov died, unfortunately, the Rebbe's and his wife died only a few weeks ago. The Ponovizhirov died, and whenever we were in Israel, we were in their home. Whenever they were in South Africa, they were in our home. So, when they were in a home, there was a flat where they lived. They had a very nice flat in Bnei Brak, in the yeshiva explore there a very nice flat, absolutely private. Ponavizharov died, and then we went to see the Rebbetzin was there. We went to see the same flat. Now, I knew that. I knew that they would keep her, the son, Reb Avrom, I knew. That wasn't his mother, by the way. Because this was the second marriage. His first wife was killed by the Nazis. And all his children, only one son remained. I knew that that this Reb Avrom would keep his father's widow, would keep her exactly as she had been kept during her father's lifetime. So I came in once, and anyway she deceived us, and we sat down. I saw that the flat had been made smaller, that the dining room had been reduced in size, and the flat had been made smaller. I had only sat down. She knew what was worrying me. She knew what was worrying me. She said, "You notice that the flat is smaller." That was at my request. In case I should have thought that they themselves made a difference, she knew that that must have been worth it. That was at my request. It was too much for me. I asked them to make it smaller. That is the way, that's terrible. That's the way it's terrible.
That's a mind to know immediately what would be on your mind.
You see, that's a sensitivity. She knew. She knew me, she knew that that must be why me immediately. Just came in, she didn't waste any time. Totally, I don't understand. These are the people. This is that we would take it. We've got to go through this little Gemara still, but I've got to get a move on with this Gemara, because it's from a Gemara like this that it's easy to learn from. All right. Now, we've got to discuss our... Do you want to rather go and learn a Gemara, or do you want to...
Do you want to finish the Gemara till the end of this study?
Well, it's
that
not...
The stuff that
I will take it, yes, we can say, Omarav Yehuda Omarav, Maise Bevita Shel Nagdima Ben Guria. This is really another subject that goes on to the next piece of Gemara, but we can finish this. There was a covenant with the daughter of Nagdimon, the son of Gurion. Nagdimon, the son of Gurion, was a very wealthy man. The Chachomim set aside for her 400 for the cooper of the Somi for that particular day.
What's the Rubim?
The Rubim gold coin.
Oh, yes. What was the value of that?
Like, well, I can't tell you what the... Well, you know, it depends. A few years ago, the value of gold was $36 an ounce, and then it shot up to $800 an ounce. But it is a very substantial sum. Now, but what you've got to know is...
Where did the Chachamim post it?
Well, just one scene. They set aside 400. Omro lehem, she said to them, Kach kif seku lifnei seichem, is that what you, for your own daughters, is that what you ought to do? Was that nice of her?
Why
are
you
reading this?
Was that a question or a statement?
Was that
a question that she had or a statement?
Well, it was a statement, really.
She was
stating that this is how you should do for all the...
No, no. What she was stating is that that's not enough. She said...
And that's how you treat your women,
sort of thing? Well, they said, she said to them, for your own daughters, you also pass them like this. Is this the amount that you put right, somewhere? The Olu Achare Omein, and they said after, they said, yes. That's right.
Called it love.
Now, the only thing is, you can't really understand this little piece of Gemara until you've gone much further. But it's one of these things that it's only when you get much further that you see that you didn't understand it at the beginning. So I'll only let you into a little secret that 400 zeruvim was less than 10%.
That in this case,
yes. Mm-hmm. That is why she said, "Is this what you give for your daughter's teeth?" That is why she said that. See, it was less than 10%. So we've got to understand. So why did they give less than 10%?
Because it was a minimum.
It was a depression.
That's very good. Possibly, of course, they passed them by Rabbi Chinnin somebody else. That's very good. Or there might have been another reason.
A huge amount of money was given, and her dignity would have been adequately covered by less than 10%. Could that not be possible?
Yes. All right, let us leave it. A good answer for the time being is according to Rabbi Chinnin Gamliel. They said according to Rabbi Chinnin Gamliel, according to the Melech, it is that.
Is it possible that she received such a large salary that the 10% would have just been too ridiculous to give her such a...
Well, when you hear what the amount was, it would seem so. When you hear what the amount was, it would seem so.
Why does Chachamim have to...
That's probably why it came towards the Chachamim, because we've learned that with every amount, you have to give a certain amount, but I suppose when it's...